Merry Christmas, Nathan.
Yes, Merry Christmas to all.
And welcome to the Trade Readers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week.
Does this come out like Christmas Eve Eve?
Eve, yeah.
Oh, sick. Yeah, Merry Christmas to all.
Yeah. we read Christmas trade paperbacks every Christmas,
52 weeks.
Every 52 weeks. I'm Daniel, you're Nathan. We're brothers who read comics.
Yes, we do.
Christmas comics.
Mm-hmm. What else do we do on Christmas on this podcast, Daniel? Are we doing that now?
Do you want to do that now?
We can do that now.
I mean, we can do that in like the next week category.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, we can do that. All right. Stay tuned if you want to know what we got each other as far as trades.
Yeah. So our last week, or our last segment is, what are we going to read next week? And then we got our pull list and then Back Matter Matters.
Mm-hmm.
And then the book. But what's our first segment?
You went backwards and that threw me off even.
Yeah, got your
ass. Our first segment is the news, Daniel. Big week.
Bit of news.
Quite a bit of news. You go first, because I need to find... Just kidding, I'm going to go first, Daniel.
Bad Batch trailer for season two, Nathan.
Who cares?
Don't bang on the table, it shakes everything.
Okay, sorry. I'm very passionate about this thing. The Game Awards happened.
Oh, yeah?
And there was a trailer for Mike Mignola's Hellboy Web of Weird, or Wired, or something like that.
Yeah,
and dude, it looks fucking phenomenal, because the game design is all like Mike Mignola stuff. It
coming
looks
to
like,
life.
It looks like one of those weird motion comics that like never really took off.
But better.
But they tried for Watchmen, but it's like a video game and it looks really fucking good.
Yeah.
And I'm worried at how good it looks, because how could they possibly make it look that good the entire game? I just don't know. But the trailer is sick.
So you think that all the work went on the trailer and then the rest of it won't be as cool?
I just don't know how. Like, my brain literally can't wrap my brain around it being...
Your brain
like,
can't wrap your brain around it?
My brain can't wrap my head around how... my head
you're
can't
not
wrap
using
my brain.
That. You can't wrap your head around it.
Yeah, I can't wrap anything. Not even Christmas presents.
Yeah.
But no, it looks really good. And I just hope that... the whole thing is really good. That's just what I want.
It looks awesome. And you know what, Nathan? They have thousands of pages to work from on as far as making settings and characters.
Well, not only that, it looks like it's like three-dimensional, but when...
Well, yeah.
The game is like
three... It's not a side-scroller.
No, it's not. But it looks like two-dimensional because it looks like Mike Mignola art. So I'm just like confused in how it all works.
Well, they have like Hellboy statues and stuff. So they've probably worked it out. And he's probably super heavy into it.
Yeah,
like, fair. Now he made his butt too big or something, you know?
Okay, you know, that's fair. I'm really excited for that, though. That was the biggest surprise for me.
Something exciting that I thought was cool.
Uh-huh.
Jedi Survivor trailer.
Oh, yeah. I didn't expect that either. And I was like, okay, cool.
You know.
That's like in March as
March
well.
15th.
Oh.
Yeah. So I got about 3 months to buy an Xbox.
No, yeah, I guess it is only going to be next gen, huh?
Because it will be for that game primarily, and mm-hmm. I'll just buy other stuff with it, I imagine. But
yeah, just get the Series S. It'll be good.
Yep.
Dark Horse is taking Stranger Things back to Hawkins in 2023 with a new anthology comic series, Stranger Things, Tales from Hawkins.
Cool.
So
they have, I think, Jody Belair or somebody.
Jody Hauser. And Chao Felipe. Yeah, they're gonna be on one of them or all of them or something.
Okay,
like
they've
that.
Done books before. I was thinking about us doing like a Stranger Things book when the show came out, like the new season.
Is there a Stranger Things comic?
Yeah, there's a couple.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, clearly. Anything nerdy that's popular?
Yeah, that's, you know, that's totally true. So very neat.
Nathan reported kind of Wonder Woman 3 no longer moving forward at DC.
Yeah. I did hear about that.
But that's kind of like a rumor.
Yeah, a lot of like... No, I think that's like confirmed. And then Patty Jenkins came out with a statement. And then James Gunn also came out with a statement. And then I was like, whatever,
James
it's not happening.
James Gunn's statement was like, these things may or may not have been discussed and they may or may not be moving
no,
forward.
No, he addressed more like today.
Okay.
Specifically. But yeah, I did see that. We'll see what happens. I assume they'll try and get her back if they're going to do Wonder Woman in general. But didn't like the second one that much. Did you watch the second one?
Oh, yeah. No, I watched it with you. I didn't like it.
Oh. Did you?
Yeah, we went to the movies.
No, I didn't see that one in theaters. I couldn't go for some reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
I didn't like it. Anyway, Across the Spider-Verse trailer, Nathan.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
It was pretty bonkers.
Yeah, a lot of spiders.
Name all the spiders you saw.
I don't want to.
Armored Spider.
I don't care to know. There's PS4
Spider-Man.
Everyone was freaking out about that. That's not that good of a Spider-Man. It just looks kind of cool.
Pretty cool.
The game is good, but it's like, I don't know why everyone's freaking out about that one specifically.
I saw a still, and it's like a Spider-Woman, and webs come out of like all of her fingers.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, that is cool. That's not what Spider-Woman does. But
I like this new one.
I like this new one, too. It's supposed to be like Spider-Verse, so it makes sense.
Right, lots of spiders.
But yeah, it seems weird. Like, I don't know. That seems way less cool than like,
or she's more like, bah, you know, make it not like me. It's like, ah.
Okay, yeah, you know, you're right.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on the flair.
This is why you don't make movies.
I guess I can't make that movie.
Anything else?
Kevin Conroy's final performance is going to be the Suicide Squad game.
Oh, but he voiced Batman for that?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, fuck, that's cool.
Yeah, so that'll be really super cool, I think. Mark Miller's new Netflix comic with Frank Quitely.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Not exclusively Frank Quitely, but he's on it.
What?
So,
is it an anthology of different artists?
Yeah. So it's a new comic book series. It's called The Ambassadors from Netflix/Miller World/Image Comics.
Okay.
Because it's launching in March. And okay, yeah. So it's Frank Quitely, Travis Charest, Olivier Coipel, Matteo Scalera, Matteo Bafagni, and Carl Kerschel, all drawing one issue each of the 6-issue miniseries, which he is describing as Willy Wonka, but with superpowers. So it takes place in a world which superhuman genome has been cracked, and the scientist behind it is a Korean billionaire who builds the world's first superhuman headquarters in Seoul. And basically, he just runs a contest, it sounds like, for people who want to join a team that will be on call 24/7.
He's really like, dartboarding a lot of his book ideas. It seems
like this one though. I know, it sounds kind of cool. I like Willy Wonka, but for superpowers.
He's like,
that's pretty cool.
Vampires, but with superpowers. Willy Wonka, but with superpowers.
I just see that vampire one got released like today. And I was like, I don't care about that one.
It's $1.99.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Maybe I could have picked it up.
He's trying to save the comic medium, Nathan.
You know what? Good for him.
Saving the industry. One comic at a time.
Hopefully this one's $1.99 then. But yeah, I'm actually,
you're not going to buy some Frank Quitely artwork
for $2.
Yeah. $2-3.
Yeah. No, I will.
Okay.
So that's pretty cool. Daniel Kaluuya, speaking of Spider-Verse, I know we kind of moved past it, but he's going to be Spider-Punk.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that's pretty cool.
Nice. Nice.
Good on him. Daniel, we have the Green Goblin. We have the Gold Goblin. Now is the Red Goblin coming in March.
Did we have the Red Goblin? It was like him with Carnage.
I think so. But they're making his own series by Alex Pacnadel and Jan Bazoldiwa. So,
do you have any concept art?
No, but they came out with like a trailer for it, which they only do for like big stuff, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very confused why they put all this marketing budget or whatever into like a Red Goblin comic that I don't care about.
Right.
So we'll see.
It's like NFT news. It just like keeps coming for some reason.
Yeah. New Justice League open world game announced.
Ah, neat.
It's called DC's Justice League Cosmic Chaos. Announced for Switch, PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One.
Fuck yeah, dude. Switch?
Yeah.
There's not enough shit on Switch. I swear to God.
There's not.
It's a big bummer.
It's going to release on March 10th. It's from a game company called Outright Games, and they've made some really weird like childish games, so I don't know how this is gonna go, but they've made like Paw Patrol games and stuff like that, so it's gonna
be a banger is what you're saying.
I think it'll be a banger. Yeah, they made the Paw Patrol Mario Kart, so it's like, that'll be sick.
It's called the Paw Patrol Mario Kart.
No, but like it's Mario Kart.
Okay.
Or it's Mario Kart in Paw Patrol skin basically. So
oh sick.
So that's pretty cool.
We'll see.
There's a Kickstarter for like a Klaus collection. Remember the Grant Morrison, Dan Mora comic?
It wasn't like a new collection released already? Like this year? Like,
I don't think so.
There's like the new collection.
This is a big one that's going to have Klaus 1-7. And then they've had specials every year since then, which I didn't
know. That's probably what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. So there's Klaus and the Witch of the Winter. And then there's the Crisis in Xmasville, the Crying Snowman, the Life and Times of Joe Christmas. So a bunch of other things. This isn't like really much news, but I did like that they were releasing like scarves and beanies and stuff with like Klaus stuff on it and ornaments, which is cool as well. So I was like, that's kind of neat.
Deep cut.
It'll be over by the time you are hearing this, but I was like, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
Daniel, big, hot, spicy news.
Let's hear it.
Greg Capullo just signed with Marvel Comics.
Ooh, I was waiting for something like this.
Under a secret project that hasn't been announced, but he talked about it on the Miller World podcast with Mark Miller. I didn't know that was a thing. I'll check that out.
It's super new.
Okay. It seems like he's pushing it because I saw it.
It's just people talking on Zoom.
Okay. That's sweet.
You can't listen to it. It's just like on YouTube.
Apparently, I didn't know this, but Greg Capullo worked for Marvel and did Quasar and some X-Force.
Yeah, he did X-Force. That's like how...
That's how Todd McFarlane found him, apparently.
Because I think he was on X-Force after like Jim Lee left when they all went to Image.
Oh, good follow-up, though.
Yeah, yeah. So that's like how so he like, made this? It pretty big. Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
So what would be a Marvel book that you think Greg Capullo could be on?
I would love to see him on some X-Men again. That'd be kind of sick.
But that's a great idea, too.
He's already done it.
Might do it again. Who cares?
Like Sentry would be kind of cool. I want him to do like something weird like Quasar or something like
he's
that.
He's going to do something big because he's Greg Capullo. You know?
But like, I don't want to see him on Spider-Man, you know?
Hey, he fucking might be.
That would be kind of cool. I mean, unless he brings Spider-Man back to like Todd McFarlane era, like that kind of like gritty sort of.
Sure.
I don't know. But other than that, like he's so ingrained in my mind as like a DC person that it's hard to imagine him on like a Marvel project.
Maybe like a Doctor Doom thing.
Punisher would be cool.
Punisher, that might be something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dr. Doom, yeah. That wouldn't be bad. So that'll be cool.
Like, who's the darkest characters, you know?
Yeah. And that's all I have. Yeah, that was the big hot spicy news.
All right, Nathan. It is a very jolly time of year. And I think that calls for some jolly trivia.
Oh, God.
For
Here we go.
Some comic book Christmas trivia.
Okay.
What was Santa Claus's first appearance in comics?
Can you...
Just give me a year.
Can you just imagine yourself on like Jeopardy or something and you just fuck up every single line asking the questions? You're like trying to read the words off the screen and you're like, hold on.
Yeah.
Santa's first appearance in comics. I have no idea. Is it like a big two book?
Yes.
Okay. Spider-Man.
I said a year. Give me a year.
Oh, okay. When? 1992.
Good guess. It was 1940.
Holy shit.
And the Superman Christmas Adventures, number one.
Wow.
So that was like kind of the first like Christmas special, you know?
Damn, that's like a couple years like after Superman was created, right?
Yeah, like two.
Damn, that's crazy.
What about his first appearance in Marvel? Give that a shot.
Okay, so Superman's 40s.
Right.
Marvel pretty much started around then. So I'm going to say 55.
Very close. 1954.
Ah, oh, damn it. I was going to say that too.
In Strange Tales.
Really?
Yes.
In like that weird cryptic book?
Yeah.
That's sick. Is he fighting a werewolf by night?
Perhaps. With his reindeer?
Yeah, with his reindeer. Reindeer by night?
Yep. What supervillain did Santa deliver a lump of coal to?
The Green Goblin?
No.
Oh, okay.
He delivered a lump of coal to Darkseid on Apocalypse.
That's sick. He goes interplanetary?
I fucking guess.
Oh, shit. I thought his jurisdiction was just Earth. That's crazy.
Yep. All right, this one, I know you won't know, but it's kind of fun. So in the Marvel Holiday Special,
mm-hmm.
They kind of said that Santa is like a mutant.
Yeah, I remember hearing that.
And what do you think his mutant power is? This potentially makes him the strongest mutant in the Marvel Universe.
Like immortality?
Nope.
Okay, let me guess again.
Okay.
Because you saying that as the strongest mutant kind of threw me off. But like initially, if I was X-Men editorial and being like, okay, Santa's a mutant. He's got the power to like teleport anywhere or like teleport inside chimneys?
Close. So all these mutants are like coming after him because they like, I don't know, they're just like a skirmish over like his powers, basically.
Okay.
There's like,
because they're scared of the like Brotherhood
was coming
mutants.
After him, and like, I don't know, the X-Men were or whatever. And he just like flicks his nose, right, and teleports all of them home and wipes their memory.
Holy shit. Is that what he does
and
to
that's
the kids?
How the book ends. Like,
oh my God.
That holiday special. Yeah, he's basically Dr. Manhattan.
Whoa.
Yeah.
He Dr. Manhattan's them.
Yeah.
So is that like what Marvel's idea of like Santa is? Is like if he like goes in the house and someone sees him, he just flicks his nose and they're just in bed. That's why no one's seen Santa.
Right.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, I know. I really want to read that now.
I know. That sounds sick.
Yeah. We'll have plenty of time to get around to that.
Yeah.
But I thought that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I love I love Christmas stuff.
Yeah, so let's get into our Christmas special book, Nathan. What did we read?
We read The Naughty List by Nick Santora and Lee Ferguson.
From Aftershock Comics. Nick Santora, I don't know him as a comic writer, but he is well known for writing things like Amazon's Reacher, The Sopranos, Prison Break. I guess he was a writer on the movie Punisher Warzone.
And, oh, okay, cool.
Law and Order, things like that. So lots of TV. But Nathan, what do you think about this?
I think he should stay in his lane.
Nathan, this feels like someone who doesn't read comics wrote a comic.
Yeah, this sounds like, or this feels a little bit more like a pitch to like the first couple episodes of a season.
But not a very good show.
But yeah, not a very good show. Maybe a limited
series. I thought the pacing was like all right.
I thought that was the worst part.
Really? Okay. I would say. I thought it was all right. And some of the panel styles were like kind of fun.
Lee Ferguson is great.
Lee Ferguson saved it for me. And yeah. There's also Francesco Francavilla covers.
I know. How did they get him? That guy's great.
Money.
I didn't even realize that at first because it's not all like orange and shit like he normally does it. Someone else colored him, I think.
Yeah, but you just look in the corner and there he is.
Yep. It totally makes sense though. So he's got some good covers there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Writing though, I was meh.
Yeah.
And I love the idea. It's like a really good idea, right? Like someone steals the naughty list and is killing people that are on the naughty list.
A great first issue.
A great, you would think, Daniel.
Yeah.
If it wasn't all origin, like exposition, like literally barely any dialogue in the first issue because it's like all narrator being like, okay, here's everything, you know?
Right.
So it felt like a little bit of an info dump for like the first issue. And then to be like on the last page, I have this naughty list. I just know who's on it for magic and someone stole it. And that's like all it is.
Right.
So anyway, I think the pacing was a little bit weird because two of these, four issues were just origins.
Mm-hmm.
And two of them were like actual story. And then it didn't end this like trade. It didn't wrap up the trade really very well. So
yeah, I wonder if like,
is there a volume two that's out or is it coming out?
I don't know. I don't even know if like the book itself individually is coming out.
Maybe they like,
maybe it's like a hiatus until, like, kind of thing.
Yeah, until like
till next Christmas.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. But this was very interesting to me.
Wait, this says the complete series. Is that the one we have? Yeah, 120 pages. Did they just?
It's complete.
Yeah, this volume collects the entire series, issues 1 through 4. So they didn't finish it.
I can see why.
It probably got like canceled before it finished.
I want to see what else Lee Ferguson has done. He's done Supergirl. Turok. Remember Turok? The game?
No. Is that like a fighting game?
No, it's like the dinosaur hunting game.
Oh, that's cool.
G.I. Joe. Batman. 80-page giant. But yeah, I would say that like a lot of the exposition pages did get saved from what Lee Ferguson decided to do with it. Because it's really cool. Even this first page. Got lots of lines and stuff on it. I'm like, ooh, here's a cool little visual aspect, but didn't, I guess, like it overall. Just like some of the ideas, but even some of the characters fell a little flat. But anyway, let's get into it.
Yeah.
So issue one's a big origin issue, like exclusively origin. There's this dude that lived in like the 1400s or something, and he wishes upon a star to like help bring joy to children that need it. And he fucking hates this star now because he essentially became immortal and he like watched his family die and stuff. And he just keeps fucking making toys.
Yeah. He's even tried killing himself a couple of times.
He has. He
brought back.
He tried to do the classic tie yourself to big stone and jump into a river.
Yeah.
He got out of that.
It took me a second to realize what he was doing.
It does look like, very casual because he's like walking like very nicely. But like one of the pages I think is like saved by it is this. There's this really sick like clock page where it's like supposed to show him like working around the clock basically to make toys. And I was like, that's a cool looking page.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he eventually like gets popular outside of his hometown and he had an increased demand for toys that he couldn't supply. So we hired other outcasts, which were little people, to help produce the toys. And then they called themselves elves, Daniel. He didn't call them that.
Right, right. Yeah.
And then whenever there were like logistical problems, the star that he wished upon would just like fix them with things like flying reindeer.
Yeah.
So
there is a caption in here. He's like, I don't get any older, like Paul Rudd.
that was a good line.
I was like, okay.
It's crazy to think that this guy's immortal, but like the reindeer aren't. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Like they're on like Comet 18.
Yeah.
So he's been doing this a while. How long do reindeer live? Because I feel like the math doesn't really check out there.
Reindeer aren't real, Nathan.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
They're just elk.
Hmm.
I know I'm wrong there.
Okay.
Yeah, he like would work so hard that like his hands would bleed like every day, but then he goes to sleep and they're healed by the morning.
That'd be sick.
You know?
His sleigh is a pickup truck.
Yeah.
I do like that. Just like a hillbilly one. And so
he shit in someone's present one time. I thought that was funny.
Did he?
Yeah. Did you see this panel here where he's got his pants down?
Oh, yeah. Yep. And so one day he realizes that not all children deserve gifts. So the star created a machine that would generate the naughty list. And he would just know everyone that was on the naughty list, like automatically for some reason, because of Christmas magic.
Right.
But then in the present, someone stole that list and is using it to kill people. So it's time for Santa to come to town, Daniel. It's time for Santa to step in.
Yes, sir.
And so I like the concepts, but this whole like issue didn't read like it reads like someone telling me what happened in a comic book almost.
Okay, you know? Sure.
So a lot of it is captions. Like I have this page that I'll screenshot and you can put on the YouTube, but it feels like half of it is just captions of him explaining his situation.
Yeah.
And I felt like there's better ways to tell that through storytelling that I typically tend to like, but maybe people just like this.
Yeah. I mean, so, I liked how they're going for like the somewhat more realistic version or take on Santa, you know?
Yeah.
Cause you all know like the jolly thing. He's like, oh, I'm not some fat guy. That's just something made for commercialism.
For Coke commercials.
Capitalism.
Yeah, I do like that aspect.
And so he's an actual person and he hates doing it. Mm-hmm. Like he tried to kill himself, but he cannot.
Yeah, so he has to keep doing it. I think it's a little like, I like the idea that his image has been kind of just like misconstrued. Like people think of him as like a fat, old, like white guy, but he's like pretty fit. You know?
Yeah. Normal looking guy.
Yeah. So I think that's interesting. And he does wear a red coat though. So he's kind of like, he's got the Santa vibes in it. And then he makes fun of like Santa later being like, red with white? What am I, a Las Vegas act or something?
Yeah.
But that's literally what he's wearing. So I'm like, you can't really talk much. So issue two, is he named Santa or is he like,
his name's like Nick or something.
Is it Nick?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, Nick brings one of his elves named Plum to help him investigate. He goes to like a known seller of like black market stuff named Collarby, who would probably like sell something like this, like the naughty list. And so he finds him and he like tortures information out of him to find out that he was paid to steal it, but he doesn't know who paid him.
Mm-hmm.
And so they find him by going through like this horse race thing. And one of the reindeer, Comet 18, is like being used to like race or like go real fast.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's kind of dark.
Yeah. He's like,
that's an interesting idea.
And he's also like too old to race.
Yeah.
Like he's so supposed to be retired unethical. Or whatever.
Yeah. There's a scene where they get thrown out of this like horse race thing. And I love this panel.
With the elf.
With Plum getting thrown out.
Cause like God. It's just a silhouette. So it feels like it's really far away and for like some reason.
The speed lines do not show gravity taking effect. So they really fucking chucked this guy.
Yeah.
This dude. So it's really funny.
There's a lot of like instances where he just uses silhouette, which is fine.
Yeah. But I like some of that, but that was a pretty funny instance. Also the torture in this book is him taking a candy cane and shoving it up Collarby's nose.
Mm-hmm.
Which, not super hardcore. It is Christmassy, but it's not super hardcore.
Right.
But one of the lines that he says is, "Tell me what I want to hear, or I'll push till your thoughts get minty," which is such a bad line. I was like, that was the lamest thing you could have said.
I thought it wasn't bad.
Like, I don't know what I would have said there, but like, don't try and force a one-liner, you know?
You know what? I'm going to disagree with you on this one.
I think there are better one-liners. And you know what? I think
because it goes up into your brain and then that's where your thoughts are. Minty.
No, I don't like it. Like, I think part of my opinion on this book stems from a movie that we saw this week, which was Violent Night.
That was just executed way better.
Similar concept, executed way better in my opinion. Obviously different medium.
That's what I thought this book was going to be. Or I thought Violent Night was going to be. Is just like, same concept, basically, you know?
Pretty, yeah.
Santa kicking some ass.
Yeah. But so, Santa doesn't kick a whole lot of ass in this book. He just shoves a candy cane up someone's nose.
Yeah.
That's the most ass kicking I think he does in this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So Nick, he apparently has this power where he can show someone's best Christmas memories through like water.
Yeah.
Like moving water. And so he uses that at a police station to get information about the car that was used to pick up the naughty list. And then he picks up Plum to take him to New York because he's like, oh shit, I know who it is.
There's a bit that they got to in here where the elves live for like a while too, but
they're not forever.
And they like hate living there. They can't leave because they're rejects or whatever.
And they do a ton of drugs.
They're all meth heads.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, keeps them up, you know.
Keeps them working.
And they tried heroin, but it didn't work that well.
This is so unethical.
Like all these different things. I'm like,
why
that doesn't need like an origin. Like that doesn't need to be explained.
Yeah, they could just like want to work there, I guess, because they just want to. Like you set yourself up to just leave it at that because he said like, oh, these people were outcasts. People don't really accept them. I was an outcast because I live forever. One's not equal to the other, by the way. Like he still looks like a healthy person.
Right.
Which is another thing. He's not like healthy, I guess. He still has like crazy stomach problems and like.
Oh, yeah. His body is like just not meant to stay alive this long, you know? Yeah,
but the star is keeping him alive. So I think that's an interesting take. But yeah, he could have just left it at like the little people wanted to work there because they felt safe. I don't know.
So like the cops, like at first before he like uses the water power, he's like, you can't really like ask for that information unless you're like involved.
Yeah.
You know, he's like looking for a green Ferrari. He's like, all right, well, some guy in a green Ferrari came out, like fingered me in the butt and then ran away. So can you find me this? Like,
yeah.
Can you find me this car now?
Yeah.
And I'm like,
involved.
What? Like, where
it was, it was an absurd
this is like
line.
An idea that he had and put it on and went through editing.
I think it like,
and then onto a page.
I think the delivery of that line could work if you're like a really good actor or something, but like reading it, I can't think of a way that this would come off as like a good line, you know?
Yeah. I was just like, okay.
Also, he looks like Huey from The Boys, this police officer.
Oh, he sure does.
The same exact look.
Mm-hmm.
They also save Comet from like the horse racing thing, which I think is kind of nice.
Yeah.
I like that they put him in the back of the car and he's just like, he just doesn't fit.
They like made a point to show like Comet. The logistics of them saving Comet.
Yeah.
They couldn't just be like, oh, he flew home.
You know? It was like a whole page dedicated to be like, oh, they're taking Comet away. We should just like take him and then put him in the back of our car and then bring him back and then go back to New York or wherever.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, a little strange. So issue 3, there's a bizarre scene like in the beginning. It doesn't really contribute to anything, but it's just explaining how he can like go through chimneys and he just teleports in and stuff.
Yeah.
And at one point he gets caught by a little girl who is up already. And so like his elf chloroforms her and puts her to bed.
Yeah,
that's how they have gotten away with this for so long. They drug people, Daniel. like traffickers. It's unreal that's like what they came up with. Like there's no star magic that could have like fixed that situation.
I guess
you
not.
Have to chloroform little girls.
Yeah,
it's insanity, but something that they felt they needed to address.
Yeah. And the reindeer are all invisible.
Rudolph isn't a thing.
Rudolph is fake.
Yep. So that takes some of the Christmas fun out of it, doesn't it?
We get some arrows in the panels to show where your eyes should read.
I think
I would have read it this way anyway, but
yeah, I don't know if that's not really a good tell of like storytelling, I guess. Like I get the page design is like an X and stuff, but yeah. I feel like lettering or something in here was off to where like if you need to like tell people like literally with like PowerPoint looking ass arrows, like where to
I feel
read.
Like we've seen this before and we liked it.
I have seen this before and I do like it on occasion.
Right.
But for 2 pages in a row of like the same page design, I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just a hater. But so we're introduced to trolls who live in caves apparently in this world. And one troll fucked a person and made a kid named Rochambeau that was an outcast by both people and trolls. So Santa took him in as like the outcast, but he would later fire him because he was bad at making toys. He would fuck dolls, but he also used the naughty list to give kids nightmares with his troll powers.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a part, there's like a really small part. I missed it on like my first read, but when I was going back to take notes, he like whips him with like jingle bells. It's like a jingle bell like rope thing.
Uh-huh.
And he apparently has a scar from that now. But it's like a very, very small like part of this page that you don't even really recognize at first. Or at least I didn't. But I thought that was funny.
Right.
And so later, after he like kicked him out, he'd see Rochambeau in like the woods killing deer for fun and stuff. So not doing great. But now he's Nick found out that he's disguising himself as a person and killing people selected from the naughty list. Is this where they find out what his name is? They find out his name is Roman Seamus Beauchamp, which is Rochambeau, like the beginning parts,
yeah,
the beginning syllables. And that's just insane. Like if you're going to create like an identity to like hide,
just make a different name.
Make it Kevin. Yeah. You know, because like no one, he wouldn't have pieced this together very fast. But he does also have the scar on his face still. Like he paints himself white or something because he's not green anymore.
Yeah.
But like I feel like that would have been enough to identify him as like Rochambeau.
Mm-hmm.
But like the scar itself, like you set yourself up to like identify him from a scar. You have a pretty good lead there, but he's also like, oh, Roman Seamus Beauchamp. That's Rochambeau.
Yeah.
It just seems insane.
And now he just kills hookers.
Mm-hmm. That is something interesting that they address, because in the beginning of the fourth issue, they're talking about like the people that he's killing, and he's like, they don't deserve to die. They've just done bad things, but people do bad things for all sorts of reasons. And then they explain that this hooker was killed because she's like ratting or something on other hookers, causing them to get like harmed from like the pimps. And so that's why she's specifically on the naughty list, you know?
Right. It's not just because
she's
a hooker.
She's a sex worker. It's because she purposefully like harmed people by doing something. And so I thought that was kind of interesting.
I was like, sure.
Yeah. Like people can be on the naughty list, but all they get is coal, you know? But like if you're on the naughty list, you don't deserve to like get punished, you know, extremely. You just don't get nice things. So.
Right.
I like how they identified that. But
didn't this book call the readers dickholes?
I don't think so. Do you remember that? I don't think so. Like us? Like me?
Yeah. You? Oh, yeah, there you go. TVs used to have these things called oscillators. Ah, forget it. It's like a GIF, okay? A GIF that plays over and over there. Now you understand it now, you teenage dickholes.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yep.
Yeah, I did read that line and I was like, okay, he's making a GIF joke.
Yeah.
That's good. Top tier comedy, Nick Santora.
Hats off to your canceled book.
Yeah. Oh, shit. So it was your four, Daniel. They're at New York. They eat some food while they try and find Rochambeau. He gets the shits because even though he's immortal, he still has body issues. And then Plum finds out that Santa hasn't been laid since his wife died, which was like hundreds of years ago.
Yeah.
So that was an interesting conversation. So like his stomach problems are weird, but also there's like a waitress that's like, don't worry, I also get the shits too.
Mm-hmm.
What was that about? Was that like flirting?
I don't know.
That was such a strange.
Maybe when you've like had like, you know, IBS like your whole life or whatever, you just are so desensitized by it.
You're part of a pack.
And she thought she could bring comfort by saying, don't worry, I get the Hershey squirts too.
She said, colitis since I was 15.
Yeah.
And I'm like, she's very proud of it, it seems.
And then like the elf's like, she likes you. I'm like,
that is not flirting. It's just like, you know.
That's not a signal.
She can just identify someone that has the shits and likes to call them out on it.
Yeah.
That's not flirting to call someone out on them having the shits.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And so, anyway, they go to the address that's on, like, Rochambeau's license. And they find out it's a guy that just, like, leases out his address to people that need discretion. So, people send, like, Viagra pills to his place and pick them up there and stuff like that. And they use the water trick to find out where Rochambeau is. One thing I did like about his Santa powers is that he knows people that are on the naughty list and he like calls them out for it. And so he's like, wait, are you Mike or whatever? And he's like, I don't know how you know that, but you know, but I do like that aspect. But yeah, again with the water thing, bit of a plot device. I don't know why it's water. Why wouldn't it be like snow or something?
Maybe it's not always snowy places.
True. He can just make snow.
And he uses his power when he's indoors.
You can still bring some snow in.
Yep.
You know, you're right.
And then they go to a cockfight, Nathan.
Yeah, like a literal, like people tape dildos to their hands like it's Edward 40 hands.
Yeah.
And they slap each other with it. And I don't know what that was about. That's not a thing. Why would you think that this is a good idea? You know?
No, that was really funny.
It is funny.
It seems like something that'd be in Sex Criminals or something.
Yeah, that would be a good way place more appropriate. I feel like, you know, it wouldn't surprise me, you know?
But right.
Maybe that's what they were trying to do here. But so... Santa goes, he gets taken that he thinks he's being taken to Rochambeau, but really he's been taken to the roof of this place, and he gets pushed off and he lands on like the spikes of fences.
Yeah, that he, gets, are, like, below. He gets impaled.
So he gets totally impaled. And then Plum gets shot in the face or in the chest by Rochambeau. And then later Santa reanimates and he hires the guy that ratted on Rochambeau to help Santa kill him. To help Santa kill Rochambeau. So,
and then it just ends.
And then it just ends. And that's the complete series, Daniel.
They should reword that, be like, all that came out series.
All that we were able to do.
Everything that's been released series in one book.
It should say, this is where people stopped reading.
Yeah.
So.
No issues are bought.
Yeah. In the recap later. So yeah.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters. I was honestly just kind of happy this was over.
Yeah.
But when I got to the end, because I'm like, all right, got to find the bad guy, stop the bad guy, and then it's
and
over.
It just like ended, and I was like, oh,
but,
okay.
But it ended before it got to that part. I'm like, that's fine too.
Yeah, I was like, that's cool. So they have 9 rules for workplace safety, and they have some, you know, some fun things. No eggnog on the job. I assume this is just like a poster that's up where the elves work.
These are like kind of fun.
Yeah, I do like it. Secret Santa is not fun or permitted. If you suggest it, you're fired. Mm-hmm. I like that one. Use a ladder to place the star. Elf stacking is strictly prohibited.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so do not eat candy canes near open machinery. That's a good one as well. So they stuff just have like some that. Fun ones. Yeah. An employee of the month thing. It seems like mainly like workplace related stuff, which I think is good back matter, you know, to like add additional context to like a certain environment, even though I didn't care about what the elves were doing.
Yeah.
I was like, this is kind of fun.
Yeah. Turtle Dove. AKA TD was employee of the month.
Yep.
They have like a little sticky note. Be like, need to get his picture.
That's my boy TD.
They got a flyer for the rain antler downs.
What is that?
It's like the reindeer races.
Oh, okay. Ladies drink half off till midnight.
Nice.
And that's pretty good. I don't know what this next one is. Oh, is that the race sheet?
Oh, maybe it's the odds.
Yeah. Slay it ain't so. That's a good one. Chimney cricket. Why is this more fun?
Rebel without a clause? That's great.
Why is this more fun than the whole book?
Resting Grinch face?
Oh, that's so good.
Rudolph Lundgren?
This sounds like a fantasy league.
And then Greg.
Yeah.
If there was some sort of Christmas fantasy league.
Absolutely. Yeah. If there's like Winter Olympics fantasy or something like that, that's what people would put.
Yeah. And then
some variants.
A variant.
And a sketchbook.
Sketch. This is like sketch.
Solid back matter. And then Lee Ferguson's talking about some of like the designs and stuff.
Little interview.
What was his favorite scene? And he really likes the first issue. And he likes the way that we speed through Nick's whole sad history. It was kind of brutal and awesome to see what he'd been through. Everyone's got their opinions.
And but some creative
there
bias.
Is a sketch of the clock page that I like. So that's pretty cool to see. He's really defined with his pencils.
You know, I think his like pencils and inks are really good. But
ink himself?
I felt like I don't know.
I think he does. I'm going back to the beginning.
It says artist, and then there's just like a color.
Okay, yeah, so he probably does.
I felt like the coloring had like a bit to be desired. It just like in the faces, just kind of depends.
Sure.
On the panel, but anyway, that is Naughty List.
Yep.
Not the Naughty List, just Naughty List.
Yeah. So, what would you rate this book, Daniel?
Oh, man. I'll give it like... I give it one of those like Little Debbie's like Christmas tree like cakes things, but like just one of them, you know?
Okay.
I guess I would translate to somewhere in between like a like it and like a tasting spoon. I liked the first issue. I was like, this is cool. This is what I thought it was going to be. I get it was like an info dump thing, but yeah. Like I was okay with just like how different it was to what we know of Santa.
I think it's set up for... like something pretty good too, because it like gets you there. You're like, okay, this is what it's about. Someone sold Nihilus. I'm gonna go kill him or whatever. And I'm like, okay, you got me here. And then the rest was just like, what's happening? Why are we at this weird reindeer race?
Why is there a troll?
Yeah, that.
And
why is the whodunit person a troll that you get introduced to in the second to last issue?
Right. But Nathan, I have to say that this is the first Nacho series of the year for me, because I was really thinking about it, because we have our Trade Writers Awards at the end of the year.
Yep, the TWA.
And my nominee is Naughty List, because I at least enjoyed the first issue, and then not really much right after off. That. Yeah.
Okay. This did come out this year too, huh?
Yeah. September is when the trade came out, and I just...
So it's like a personal plate of nachos because it was very small.
Yeah. If somehow it's Christmassy nachos.
Yeah. You know? Okay. I would rate this some cookies and milk that were left out for Santa. But
like 3 days ago.
Yeah. 3 days ago. The milk is like silk milk or something like that.
Okay.
And then the cookies are...
Gluten-free.
Yes. Perfect. Because like I'm seeking out some of this content. I'm consuming it. I'm like, this is not what I wanted. I guess. Or yeah, it looks like it's what I want.
Are vegan cookies, is that worse?
Yes.
Vegan or gluten-free, pick. Or both.
Vegan, because gluten-free can still be pretty good.
Okay.
But
that,
yeah,
and that matches the silk milk, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so the reason why I say that is because it looks like something that I would want to consume and be in the mood for, but then as soon as I start, you know, going at it, I'm like, this is just, this did not deliver.
That's a great comparison.
It looks great, though.
Yeah, looks really cool. So, great covers. Yeah,
exactly.
Couldn't have picked a better cover artist.
Francesco Francavilla carried this whole series, if we're being honest. Because between the weird story, I did get little tidbits of like, oh man, he's such a good artist. And then
Francavilla tricked us, Nathan.
He did.
He made us think it was a better book than it was.
He literally catfished this book. Single-handedly.
Oh my God. All right.
Anyway, let's go into the pull list, colon.
Shove it in your box.
The pull list. What did you shove in your box?
Dana, what are you shoving in your box this Christmas?
We're getting Shirtless Bear Fighter number 5.
Yep.
We're getting Danger Street number 1.
Yes.
From Tom King and
Jorge Fornes.
Fornes. I'm also going to be grabbing The Night Club by Mark Miller and some other guy.
Yeah. It's like Juan something, I think. But yeah. I saw it and I was like, I'm not looking for it.
And I'm not sure what else comes out, but you
Daredevil, Daniel.
Daredevil.
Number 6. I got to catch up on that. Punisher number 8 came out as well. They're chugging along on that. I'm still really enjoying it. I didn't think I would enjoy it this far.
But yeah.
Then they introduced Daredevil like an issue or two ago. And I'm like, okay, I'm back in.
Okay, hold on real quick. Going back to the book real quick. I own this now.
Yeah, you do.
And
it's in print.
I paid full price for this.
This is ripping in half. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that to a comic?
I'm not that. I would like.
You're not going to read it again.
I'll take it to Zia. Do
they buy that?
Maybe.
Try and find someone that looks like they don't read comic books. And then.
Then they'll never read another comic again.
Well, I'm saying that they'll be the person to be like, I'll give you like $15 for this or whatever. $10.
Nah. I have a stack of stuff I need to take to Zia, and that will be with it.
Okay. Do they take individual issues?
Yeah. I don't think.
I think Samurai they will,
because I've seen them. It's just a bunch of super random shit. I haven't gone through them because it's a nightmare. It's not like, in alphabetical order.
Oh, okay.
So it's just you don't know what you're getting when you go through that.
Yeah.
I like looking at the trades way more.
Yeah. Trades are way more fun to look at, especially in a store like that, because if you find something good, it's like, how did it get here?
You know? I'm like, wow, this is normally 30 and it's 8 now or yeah. Whatever. Sorry.
I do have like collections of stuff that I like am not personally like emotionally tied to that I want to get rid of. I just haven't gone through everything yet because I have 6 long boxes.
That's crazy.
No, 7, I think, actually.
Yeah, like individual issues, I think they might, because like no one goes through them, you know, so why would they buy them?
How many boxes do you think is like ideal?
Oh.
Or like a good amount to be like,
I want to keep this.
Yeah.
Like 4 maybe.
That's what I'm thinking. I might try and condense down to like 4, but taking 3 long boxes and getting rid of them.
I think if I like run out of shelf space, then I'm like, all right, we got to, you know, spring clean here. Yeah. But anyway, other than that, what did you get through all the stuff that you got?
Oh, Daniel, I went to a Walmart and I picked up a comic book this week.
Oh, did you get the Page Punchers or whatever?
No, I didn't get any of the, oh, that would have been cool if they had that though. I forgot that was the thing. But no, I picked up Robins, which is the DC round robin winner from last year, I think. And I just saw that there and I was like,
it was a trade?
No, it was the first issue.
Where was it?
It was in Walmart that's next to me by the Santan Mall.
No. Like where in the store? Like,
oh, it's like, you know, when you are checking out and then I know you do this, but you look at the like Pokemon and Yu-Gi-Oh cards and you're like, damn, I should get back into that.
Or like, I don't think that at all.
Yes, you do. We all do, Daniel. Or you at least think, damn, I remember when I used to want those. It's next to those.
right by the cigarettes and like
no cigarettes. It's like the kid shit, you know, that someone will like tug on like their mom's arm and be like, "Mom, I want Pokemon cards," you know.
Okay. Now were there other comics there?
Yeah, there were, from like, publishers I'd never heard of before.
Really? That's so and DC. Weird.
Yeah. So
you never heard of DC, Nathan?
Yeah, this is up and coming publisher, I think.
Oh man.
So I saw the other ones. I did look through because I always want to support stuff that's not big too. But I was like, nah, this looks boring. I want to get Robin's.
That's so weird.
I know, and I haven't read it yet, but I picked that up.
I don't even know if I'd want to look through like comics that are at Walmart.
Dude, it was on the top shelf too. Like, wow. I could barely reach it.
Ooh, top shelf stuff.
Yeah.
Unless it was like the Bendis Superman or Bendis Batman or like the...
Oh, that was Walmart, wasn't it?
Or the Tom King Batman or no.
Superman.
Tom King, Superman, Bendis Batman.
Yeah. They like switched.
Yeah.
I still want to read those.
I have...
Bendis Batman's phenomenal, by the way.
I like the Tom King Superman. It was like really like refreshing.
Oh, I haven't read that.
It was like... It would be like a great first Superman book for somebody, you know?
Ooh.
So that's like, craze. That's what I was thinking.
Well, I think that's the point as well.
But I also didn't finish it. But yeah. Anyway, did you watch anything, Nathan? Read anything? Did you read anything?
I read part of Grifter Got Run Over by a Reindeer.
How'd that go?
I read just John Layman's thing because I had some extra time and I was like, I need to read this, but I haven't gone through all of it. And he did like a Harley Quinn story that thought was pretty fun.
Cool.
Like Christmas decorations and stuff came to life and were terrorizing Gotham. And there was a Mrs. Trixapitalik or something like that. That was there was like a Harley Quinn Mr. Mrs. Pitalik.
And I was hilarious. Like,
this is fun.
Mixoplick for people who want to look that up.
You won't
be able to look it up based off pronunciation.
Yeah, but you can't really sound out that one.
Yeah.
But I thought that was fun. And the way that it got resolved is that Harley Quinn taught her the meaning of Christmas by giving her the Grifter Got Run Over by a Reindeer issue that I was reading. And I was like, this is pretty good. And so I
John Layman does it again.
He does it again.
Just by being super meta.
At first I was like, okay, I like this Harley Quinn Pitalik thing, but I don't know if it really sold it. And then she did that. And I was like, that's so funny. So
he had to get like the cover.
Yeah.
First, you know,
like the other weight. The artist did at least.
Yeah.
So I thought that was fun.
Nice.
That's the only thing I read, I want to say.
Yeah.
Outside of that, or played that was new. Or I didn't play anything that was new.
Okay.
What did you read or watch?
So we were scrolling through Amazon horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Never a good thing to do because, like, there's a couple you recognize and it's just things that could be fake, you know? You know, like
no one's ever clicked
on it. It could be
them.
Like an AI picture and a randomly generated name because I'm like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You know, we got to something that looks kind of interesting, watched the trailer, and Sarah was sold in like a couple seconds.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And so we watch it. It's called He's Out There. Right. Mm-hmm. This movie had so much potential to be really good, you know, like a really good horror movie. Okay. Right. But like, unfortunately, like they just kind of fell short when it came to like the scares, you know, like the jump scares, like they just weren't like executed right.
What's the concept?
So it's like a main guy, right? And he's the folktale or whatever is that he's like this boy that used to live in this cabin and he went missing,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what he looks like. That's like what the monster looks like.
Oh, that's scary.
So super freaky, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I like the mask, just wear normal clothes.
Is that supposed to be like his skin or is that like a mask?
It's like a mask.
Okay.
And so this family like are visiting their vacation cabin or whatever. And the dude's just terrorizing the house. And so, yeah, just things that like happens. Like I saw what was going to happen like before it happens. You know, it's just very like...
Predictable.
Predictable. Yeah. And so that wasn't like great. And his like motive was like not very clear to where I can't like him as like a villain. You know what I mean? He just kind of, he had this like weird human sized like tea set in the woods with like humans that are like dolls.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to like cut off their limbs and just attach them to the dolls for some reason.
Seems like it'd be really disproportionate.
Yeah, probably was. And so, but yeah, you know, they get away and he had a axe in his back, but then they look back when they're driving away. He's not there.
Oh, nice.
Blah, blah, blah.
Sequel.
But yeah, it was like fine. It could have been like so much better though.
You that know? Sucks. Yeah. I mean, I guess if you'd never heard of it, you know.
Yeah, it was like, it was expected. Better than I thought it'd be, especially where we found it. Yeah. But it could have been like a couple points higher just mm-hmm. if some things were just executed a little bit better.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I did start watching The Gentleman, but I was wrapping presents as I was watching it, and I wasn't paying attention to how much information was in the beginning of that movie.
There's quite a bit, yeah.
And so I was like, it was like 10 minutes in, and I was like getting the idea of like everything that was happening, and then I like missed like 2 minutes or something, and I was like, I'm not giving this movie the attention that I probably should. So
thank you. I appreciate try. That. I do appreciate the effort.
Yeah, but I will like just sit down and watch it. It's okay. In the Xbox. Okay, so it'll be like,
so
it'll be there and it'll be easy to access.
Right.
You know, so
that's the first step.
That's the first step to watching just
putting it in. It's actually in the first step is opening the package.
Yeah, which I did that, and I'm on step 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Watching the movie.
I'm really excited to hear that.
Yeah. So
I can't wait for you to be done with it.
It's on a top priority list for
nice,
me.
Nice, nice.
So
I also gave the Guillermo del Toro Pinocchio movie shot on Netflix. I thought this was like right for Netflix, you know, we're used to him having like these wide release things and things like that. But I don't think it really would have done that well in theaters.
Probably not.
So I think like it being on Netflix is just like the right move.
Especially with the Disney Plus Pinocchio that also came out.
Right. So it's kind of,
it's good that this one's clearly like the one that has more heart in it, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very Guillermo del Toro. You know, there's just like things in it. I'm like, that looks like something that'd be in one of his other movies, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The stop motion's like incredible. Obviously it's not, there's only like a few new threads to like the Pinocchio story, you mm-hmm. know? And it's just kind of seeing that in stop motion is like, what's the fun part about it?
Yeah. I've been seeing a lot of interviews with him just lately in clips. And yeah. I'm like, this guy's sick.
Yeah, he is cool.
He had a sweet take on like AI art. I can't like do it justice, but you should look that up. Okay. He has a really good perspective on it.
Nice. And we watched Violent Night, didn't we, Nathan?
Yes, we did, Daniel. Before we get into that real quick, I did watch, there was a chess boxing stream.
Oh, nice.
On YouTube. That's from like creators and like gamers and stuff. Like, it wasn't like chess boxing people. There mm-hmm. were chess boxing people, but they also did Smash Boxing, which
is... Oh, so they played Super Smash Bros?
Super Smash Bros. Melee.
They fucked in between rounds?
Yeah, they smashed. They'd fuck each other and whoever came first. Oh, that'd be cool.
You just beat up
anyway, like
your partner immediately.
The normal concept for chess boxing is you play like a couple minutes of chess, a couple minutes of boxing, and you win by either checkmate or knockout. Mm-hmm. If it's a stalemate, you go off like boxing like score.
Yeah.
And then he also introduced like Super Smash Bros. Melee, where they would just do like basically best out of 4 games of Super Smash Bros. And so there were like 2 of those.
What if it's tied?
If it's tied, then you go off the boxing. And it was okay. Such a sick event. Because there's a couple matches where it was like really close, really exciting. And I was excited to like see both the chess and the boxing parts.
Mm-hmm.
People got gassed so quickly, which I love about chess boxing or Smash boxing. Because like, you're not good at both things. You're good at one of the things.
Yeah. I mean, if you dedicated your life or a couple of years to just those 2 things, I bet you could be like pretty good at both. Yeah, you could
be really good. They had like actual chess boxers there too. And those were cool to see.
It seems like almost unreasonable like how gassed some like boxers get. Like,
in like
really
90 seconds.
Just like a couple rounds, you know? And yeah. I'm like, you're tired? It's been like 10 minutes,
you
really.
You trained your whole life for this.
Yeah.
And so...
Aren't you supposed to be like an insane athlete?
Yeah. And it was just super cool. And there was one chess boxing match where the guy clearly did not know how to play chess. He like played the wrong... He like didn't know how the knight moved kind of deal.
He's like, diagonal?
And he would point to a chess piece and like look out in the crowd and be like... and you like try and gauge like people's reactions or whatever.
That's
even though they have
funny.
Noise canceling headphones on, so you can't hear anything. He was just trying to like go off of like movement.
That's so
or something.
Funny. And, so he's really trying to get that knockout.
Yeah, he was a really good boxer too. So
I think it makes
they sense.
Should have like all.
Do you know Chertilies on TikTok?
Yeah.
He was like that guy that
he was
really good at boxing, not very good at chess. He's like on TikTok a lot.
What's he look like?
He does like. Those skits with, you know, the Life's a Beach and You're Here, Dude?
Oh, the other guy?
The other guy. That's Turley's.
Not Trevor Wallace,
but like... Not Trevor Wallace, but like the one that he always like does stuff with.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, he was a part of it.
Okay, okay.
Watch it on YouTube. It's from a guy named Ludwig who like did it. If you just look up YouTube Ludwig chess boxing, you'll find it.
You just send it to me.
Okay, yeah, I'll send you the link.
I'll watch it right after this.
It's so good. It was like the most entertaining like stream I've ever watched.
So it was like a couple hours or whatever?
Yeah, I would say so. I think it was like 3, but... really well produced. He put like $1.5 million into it.
Wow.
So, anyway, that was just a cool thing I watched.
Okay.
Anyway, what did we watch?
Violent Night.
Violent Night.
Featuring Daniel. David Harbour and some other people.
This is the perfect Christmas movie, I think.
It sure is.
And it's so good because it still feels like a Christmas movie that's like kind of like for kids almost.
Yeah, it could be.
Because like there's... Obviously, like the pitch of it is like Santa is kicking some ass to like save Christmas or whatever.
Right.
And it gets bloody and there's whatever. But there's still like that element that feels like if the bloody parts were cut out, it would still be like a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
Like the kid's super cute and like David Harbour's trying to like keep the spirit of Christmas or whatever. And I love that.
The dialogue is just kind of like, okay, you know?
Yeah.
There are some cheesy parts.
The whole like situation, you know, not super complex.
Sure.
But so good. So yeah, David Harbour, he like as Santa Claus, he's lost his spirit of Christmas because everybody just wants a video game, Daniel.
Yeah. There are so many wrapped up video games in this. I know,
which is so
funny.
And
they never got old for me.
I love the sack like power.
Oh thing. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen it done that way.
It's just a black hole.
Pretty much like a portal that people just grab into and it would just know.
I feel like it's always kind of been something like that where you don't really see it, you know? It's pretty like ambiguous, but you see like this black hole he just puts his hand into, you know?
I think most like Christmas movies I've watched, it's just like this giant sack, you know? And I'm like, that covers like all 8 billion people or whatever.
Don't they do that with like...
They do that in like Polar Express.
Right. I remember that. But like, no, in like Santa Claus, I'm pretty sure just has like a pretty normal size sack and it's... Whatever he needs is always in there.
I think you're right. Yeah. I like that.
But there is... We got like the history of Saint Nick, you know,
yeah, and he's like
where he's like come from. He was some sort of Viking, like a Celtic Viking.
That was so good.
And he like full spoilers, but like he was just a warrior that just killed people all the time
with a hammer named Skull Crusher.
Yeah. Great name.
Yeah. Good name. Good workout too.
And he gets wounded and he takes his Santa suit off and he's got all these like Celtic tattoos. That were like Christmas inspired.
Yeah.
And it was so fucking
funny. He's
got
the Santa bod.
And it has this like Viking music playing in the background.
It's so good. Yeah. He's like trying to patch up like a cut, like stitch it up.
Yeah.
And that was probably the funniest part because of the tattoos, but also like he's, I'm pretty sure he's stitching himself with like the little wire that you use for ornaments.
Okay.
And I think he like heats that up and then he like patches it with wrapping paper.
Yes.
Instead of bandage. And that was...
And then he puts like ribbon like around himself to tie it in.
Probably the hardest I've laughed in a few months.
Like, oh yeah, absolutely. Just Sarah's so, like, you're the only one who laughed at that. No. I'm like, no, I think Nathan laughed.
That was genius.
This so movie fucking is genius funny
in a couple of ways. And I think that was one of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think like the whole thing is like super fun.
There was a lot of really cool kills in this, but I think the one that just kind of stands out the most is like, he's got this ability to where he like just taps his nose or whatever. And
yeah,
he,
what is that? Why is that the Santa thing?
I don't know. And he like turns into like particles and goes through the chimney. He doesn't actually squeeze through there.
Yeah.
And then he's on the roof or whatever. But he did that while holding onto a guy and the guy didn't turn into particles. So he just got shoved through the chimney.
Like folded in half.
And basically. Then just like blood just splatters all over like super on top cool. of him and just makes this raining blood kind yeah. of thing.
It was so good. I like that every time. It's basically just Die Hard, but Christmas, even though, you know, Die Hard Christmas movie, whatever. I like that every, like most of the kills, like if he's strangling someone, it's like with tinsel or like with Christmas lights or something.
Like, it's just all like
the most ridiculous thing.
It's like, let's do a normal kill, but how do I make it jolly?
How do we shoehorn Christmas in there? And I love the creativity that came with that.
He had this giant candy cane and was able to like suck it down to make it sharp. And then just
I've always thought of that.
Shanks people all the time. And it was hilarious. Seen
it. And it just clicked. It just scratched like an itch in my brain when it comes to like
finally,
so super good.
I didn't. He he does like, he makes a snowball, like a singular snowball for some reason, and just throws it at a guy. And I was that was all that was. I'm like, is this going to be like an elf montage or just fucking.
That's what I figured, because they spent like quite a bit of time, like a couple seconds of him forming a snowball that he just throws at someone. It doesn't even kill them, I don't think.
Yeah, so, it just kind of knocks him over.
I thought that was funny. I like when he has to chase after people on like the snowmobile things.
Oh, yeah.
And he just grabs a sled.
Yeah.
And he just like starts running
because he knows where the road goes, I guess.
It was so funny.
But no, his comic relief in this was like excellent.
Yeah, he was perfect casting.
For he stabs a guy in the eye with the star of a tree.
That was a good one,
that
too.
That was a good one. And then like it doesn't kill him, but he like plugs it in.
His face turns on fire. Yeah, I just like the juxtaposition of those brutal kills. And he's talking to like this really nice girl who thinks that her walkie-talkie talks to Santa, but in reality, he just happened to find a walkie-talkie and put it on that channel.
Yeah.
So he's trying to call 911 through a walkie-talkie.
He like is that pretty, a thing? I guess he's just pretty disconnected from like the world and like doesn't really know how like technology works, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't expect like the B plot with like this family and stuff, which was actually kind of like creative and whatnot. But yeah. I don't know, when we started like focusing on like these other people, I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, it did take a bit to start up because there was a lot of like build up to like what the situation was and why they're stuck in a house and who all these people are. And I don't feel like everybody had like a arc necessarily, which that's not needed, but it's just interesting to see who's like still alive, you know?
Yeah.
And like the mom didn't really learn anything, I don't think, about the importance of family.
Yeah.
And she seems like the biggest asshole of like everybody, right?
She just kisses the dad and they make up or whatever.
Like the mom has such a power complex that both kids in here are named Gertrude and the boy is Bertrude.
Right.
Which is funny, but yeah, I just thought that might be good.
And then it starts off with Santa in a bar just drinking beers.
Yeah.
And I was like, this could happen. Like, he could just like kind of go out and no one would really blink an eye.
That was a really clever scene too, because they're like, how long have you been doing this or whatever? And he'd be like, as long as I can remember. or like, you know, how long you've been working? And he's like, I'm about to start, actually, you know, because it's Christmas Eve. So I like that scene a lot.
He's like, taking a break. Whatever.
So,
and it's fun. Like 11. Like, what, where would he need to be if he was actually like a small Santa?
Yeah, exactly. Know? Yeah. So overall, like really fun time. I'm probably going to watch this like every year. It's like one of those.
I could see that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So pretty good.
Good movie.
Good movie. Way better than Naughty List.
Yeah.
Which are somewhat similar concepts. I like actually his Naughty List. He just like takes a scroll and he can like think of somebody or, you know, the scroll knows what he's trying to find. Yeah,
some like hologram like.
Yeah. Like thing magic that pops thing. Up. And it's like, okay, there's guys with guns that are running up on the house. And he's like, oh shit, they're all on the Naughty List.
Yeah.
And I thought that was fun.
What are we gonna read next week?
But anyway, Nathan, what are we going to read next week?
I don't know, Daniel. We got each other gifts.
We sure did. Let's do the swap.
Do
the swap.
Your gift might be a little crushed.
What do you mean?
Never mind. The bow looks good.
Okay. I don't have bows.
Wow. Let's see your wrapping job.
Look at this. It's so crisp. All right. Look at the backside. How's that look?
I used like
you got under paper showing.
No, I used leftover.
You gave me your leftovers.
No, there was leftover paper that you couldn't possibly use for any like actual gift. This is an actual gift, but
right.
Like
from two brother from brother.
Yep. All right.
No, we're going to open at the same time just in case we happen to get each other the same thing.
No, I want you to open yours first.
Fuck. All right.
Because if we do, I'll just like keep it low key, you know, but.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. I thought
just
so
Thanos.
We have Thanos, but by Thanos Donny
wins.
Cates.
By
Thanos wins is the story arc. Daniel, is this when Donny Cates picks up from Jeff Lemire? Okay, also, so it's Daniel, like a volume like 3 or something.
The first appearance of Cosmic Ghost Rider is in this book.
Oh so my goodness,
the origin of that guy.
How exciting. And I thought this was like the Jeff Lemire one. I'm like, oh, I have this.
No, that one's like, all right. But that one, I'm pretty sure you haven't read, right?
No, I haven't even read the Jeff Lemire one, and I have it.
Okay.
Very good.
Cool. Very cool.
So
very
it's
cool.
Not the same thing I got you.
Okay,
so
cool.
That's good.
I figured there would have been like a small chance. If you had seen that, you would have been, I guess you wouldn't even recognize that it was like the Donny Cates one. So
yeah.
Anyway, let me open. Oh, this is a great one. One Star Squadron by Mark Russell, Steve Lieber, Dave Stewart.
Yes, sir.
I remember looking at this and I was like, this looks great. Like at the when the number one came out. And then every subsequent issue, I was like, I should have picked that up.
Right. Yeah.
So
I thought that too. Because I think I only found out about it when like issue 3 came out. I'm like, oh, it's too late.
I know.
But
I love this duo, like Mark Russell, Steve Lieber.
Yeah.
Steve Lieber is just great in general.
So. I hope it's like, I don't know, like a team that's like, I don't know, like the heroes are just kind of like one star like heroes, you know, and they just have to be a team, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But we'll that's see. A great pick.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I can't go wrong with Mark Russell. And then I like the concept, I guess, enough.
Yeah, Red Tornado, love that guy.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm surprised we both picked Big Two books. I was really close to getting you God Country.
Okay.
Because I think that would have been good too. And there was a couple other ones I think I remember seeing, but I was just looking through Samurai. Mm-hmm. And that one, I think, jumped out at me the most.
You know what? I think it'd be a long time before I ever got to this book. So good pick.
I think I almost picked up Bug the Forager. And then there was like another thing that I remember seeing. I think it was like a Darwin Cook book. But anyway,
I think I saw that trade came out. And I'm like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
You know, and that's all the thought I put into it.
Perfect. So which one of these are we going to read next week?
I don't know. Should we flip a coin?
Sure.
I'm heads because there's a big skull on this one.
Okay. And I'm tails because that's the only one left.
That's the only other option. Hey, Siri, flip a coin. It's tails. All right. We're reading One Star Squadron
next week.
And then Thanos wins.
Sweet.
Good stuff. Merry Christmas, Nathan.
Yeah. Merry Christmas, Daniel.
And Merry Christmas to all of our wishners, all of our listeners.
Our wishners. Wishing for good comics next year. Wishing
our listeners. Merry Christmas.
Are we doing our Trade Waiters Awards next week?
So we can either do it like the last... That'll
be the first week of the new year when it comes out, right? So
It'll come out on December 30th when...
Okay, so we could either do that week or the next week.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Okay. We'll see what we come up with because we haven't prepared really at all. So
I have most of my nominees down. So if you want to start thinking about that, we can just do it next week.
All right, cool. Yeah, let's do that then.
All right, we got a link tree.
Check that out.
Follow, YouTube.
What I want for Christmas is a subscribe.
We got some subscriptions.
Okay, cool. I want more.
At least two. Be that person.
1,000 subscribers, I will slap Daniel in the face.
I'll let him punch me and slap me.
Yeah, we'll do chess boxing.
That would be something.
That would be so... Can we actually box each other? Did I tell you that my friend Parker...
We have to have the headgear, but
Yeah. That apparently doesn't help concussions at all, I found out.
I'll take a concussion for the pod.
Yeah, sure, I've never had one. I'm open to new experiences, concussions.
It's not that bad.
Anyway.
What are you talking about?
Hit a subscribe. I was saying that, did you know that Parker has been, obsessed with, wanting to box me lately?
Really?
Yeah. And since our...
1,000 subscribers, Parker will box Nathan.
Yeah. That's 2,000 subscribers. Or 10,000, something like that.
Okay.
But yeah. Do all that. Follow the things.
You can email us at traderspod@gmail.com. Tell us what to read.
Tell us what trades you got for Christmas.
Yeah, very good one. And tell us to read it if you want.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty, happy holidays.
Happy holidays.
Goodbye.